The scripture lesson today is about the baptism of Jesus, and it comes from the Gospel of Mark. Let us listen for God's word. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Have you ever been moving along through life at a nice, steady, comfortable pace, when all of a sudden, everything just starts speeding up? It's like going up the big hill of a roller coaster. As the cars crank their way up to the top of the hill, you have plenty of time to look around and enjoy the view. And then you come over the crest and whoosh! It's all you can do to hold on tight for the rest of the ride while you zoom down the hill and around the curves, the rest of the world going by in a blur. Well, that's what happens in our church year this week. Barely 3 weeks ago, we were gathering with the angels and shepherds to welcome the Savior's birth and to bask in the glow of candlelight. Last Sunday, wise men from the east showed up in Bethlehem after following a star to find and worship the infant king. Now, here we are just 7 days later, watching a grown-up Jesus walk into the Jordan River and come up out of the water as God's beloved son. The Gospels are very quiet about Jesus' childhood. Only Matthew and Luke tell us anything about Jesus' birth, but there is no time for candlelit Christmases in Mark or John. They jump right in with Jesus as an adult at the start of his ministry on earth. And actually, the first person we meet in Mark's Gospel is John, the baptizer. We are probably more used to calling him John the Baptist, which makes Baptist sound like his religious affiliation or even his last name, sort of like some people think Jesus' last name is Christ. But John is the guy who is known for baptizing people. It's his MO, and John baptized a lot of people. In fact, the story tells us that the whole Judean countryside and crowds from Jerusalem came to him in flocks to see and experience what John had to offer, a cleansing in the Jordan River, an opportunity to confess their sins and get a fresh start in life. In his gospel, Mark doesn't give us any background on John. No story about Zechariah and Elizabeth miraculously conceiving a son in their old age, or Elizabeth being Mary's cousin. John just appears in the wilderness. All Mark tells us is that John is something of a wild man, clothed in camel hair and a leather belt, eating a strictly locavore diet of locusts and wild honey. This is supposed to jog our memories that the prophet Elijah was described in similar ways way back in the Old Testament, and many Jews believed that Elijah would return from the dead just before Jesus or the Messiah showed up. John himself confirms this suspicion by telling everyone that, yes, there is another one greater than him coming soon to baptize them with the Holy Spirit and to usher in God's kingdom. Then, just as we're getting comfortable with the desert landscape and John's spiritual laundromat, Jesus shows up in the crowd, having traveled all the way from Nazareth in Galilee. That's when we hit the top of the big hill on the roller coaster and grab onto the person next to us. What Luke takes 22 verses and Matthew 17 verses to say, Mark says in just 8. And today we are focusing on the last 4. Jesus came and was baptized by John, and just as he was coming up out of the water, you might say all hell broke loose. Except that it was actually heaven breaking loose. Mark tells us that the heavens were torn open. They didn't just gently open up, as Matthew and Luke suggest. They were literally rent asunder, ripped apart in a fast and furious moment in which the Holy Spirit dive-bombed down onto Jesus, the Bible says, like a dove, but it was really more reminiscent of a bird of prey swooping in for the kill. This is not the soft and gentle vision of baptism that most of us have. Tim Bogus once told the following story that might be closer to what Jesus actually experienced in his baptism. A mother was at home with her 2 young daughters one lazy afternoon. Everything seemed to be just fine until the mother realized something strange. The house was quiet. And as every parent knows, a quiet house in the daytime can mean only one thing. The kids are up to no good. Quietly walking into each of the girls' rooms and not finding them there, the mother began to get worried. And then she heard it, the sound of whispering, followed by the flushing of a toilet. Following the sound, she soon realized where it was coming from. It was coming from her bathroom. Whispers, flush, whispers, flush. Poking her head into the room, she was able to see both of her daughters standing over the commode. Whispers, flush. One of them was holding a dripping Barbie doll by the ankles, and the other one had her finger on the handle. Whispers, flush. Wanting to hear what her daughter was saying, she slipped quietly into the room, and this is what she heard. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son, and in the hole you go, flush. Rather than a gentle sprinkling, Jesus' baptism may have felt more like getting a divine swirly from the Holy Ghost. Seriously, though, baptism is a powerful moment, not only for Jesus, but for any of us who are paying attention to the story. That's what I like about the painting by Daniel Bunnell that's on the front of our bulletin this morning. It is not a calm, orderly scene with John the Baptist gingerly pouring a little water over Jesus' head out of a seashell. In fact, John isn't even in the painting because this scene is all about God and Jesus. At first, I assumed the dove was descending. But the more I look at it, I think the dove is actually rebounding off of Jesus' shoulders after impact. The water flying everywhere in a giant splash cloud, the fiery flames of the Spirit's power engulfing him and empowering him for his mission on earth. What is that vision, we might wonder? Well, look closely at Jesus' hands and feet. They are positioned as if he were hanging on the cross already. Jesus is being baptized into his death and resurrection, which will ultimately tear open the heavens for all of us, saving us from our sins and claiming us for the kingdom of God. That's when we hear the voice from heaven saying, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Just as Jesus is empowered by the Holy Spirit to launch his ministry on earth before he has even had a chance to start it and do anything, God confirms his identity as the beloved son with whom God is already well pleased. It's almost as if God is saying, "Son, it's going to be a wild ride, with some scary twists and turns, some thrilling ups and downs. But no matter what happens, remember who you are. Remember that I love you and that I am with you always." I think Mark tells us this story of Jesus' baptism this way for at least 2 reasons. The first is he wants us to understand who this Jesus really is. Back in the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah prayed and pleaded with God, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." The good news of Mark's gospel is that in Jesus Christ, God did tear open the heavens and come down to earth. Mark uses the Greek word schizo for tear. Schizo, from which we get words like schizophrenic. And he uses this word in only one other place in his gospel. At the very moment of Jesus' death, the curtain inside the Holy of Holies in the temple, the curtain which marked the barrier between heaven and earth and protected humanity from God's holiness and glory, that curtain is torn in two, ripped asunder, signifying that never again will God be separated from his creation. Jesus Christ, in his life, death, and resurrection, is God with us, now and forever. In Jesus Christ, God's kingdom has torn through all the walls and barriers and come down to earth. The second reason that Mark tells us about Jesus' baptism is that we can better understand what our own baptism means. In our baptism, we too are washed in the waters of grace and forgiveness, filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered to follow Jesus, and called to God's mission in the world. At the font, we too are baptized into Christ's death and resurrection and claimed for God's kingdom come. Not in some distant time or place, but here and now, in this time and place. And God only knows the journey of faith can be a wild ride with some incredible views, some scary twists and turns, and thrilling ups and downs. That's why in our baptism, before we even hit the top of the hill, we also hear God saying to us, "You are my child. My beloved, with you I am well pleased." This is the assurance of God's presence and grace that we take with us every day as we live out this life-changing, life-giving good news in the world around us. Pastor Maxwell Grant says it this way: truly saying yes to our baptism is the daily work of the rest of our lives. It is saying yes to the world and yes to a life torn apart by the love of God. Remember good old Martin Luther, whom we spent so much time talking about last fall when we celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation? Between his brilliant theological mind and courageous sermons, his neurotic personality, and the changing politics of the day, there is no doubt that Luther's journey of faith was definitely a roller coaster of ups and downs, twists and turns. It was a very bumpy ride, which is why Luther reminded himself regularly that he had been baptized. When he was holed up in Wartburg Castle for almost a year to escape the emperor's death warrant, Luther was plagued by times of doubt, discouragement, and depression. He tried to distract himself by translating the Greek Bible into German so common folks could read it, but even then, he felt like the devil was tormenting him. He was known to hurl his inkwells at the walls in the direction of wherever the voices came from. Through it all, however, Luther believed that there is on earth no greater comfort than baptism. And he could be heard all around the castle grounds at different times of the day or night shouting, "I am baptized. I am baptized." Why don't you all try that? I am baptized. Now shout it like you mean it. I am baptized. There you go. For Luther, the only thing that kept the demons at bay was remembering his baptism, that he was beloved and claimed by God and called to work for the kingdom come. For Martin Luther's namesake, Martin Luther King Jr., the life of faith was also a roller coaster, full of amazing views from the mountaintop and a lot of scary twists and turns as he preached and marched against the evils of racism, prejudice, and injustice. But King knew that no matter what others said, he was a beloved child of God, claimed and called to help bring God's kingdom down to earth. King did not believe that the kingdom of God was some place far away in another lifetime. According to one scholar, rather, he associates the kingdom of God with the eternal love of God on earth. And as Jesus had a vision at his baptism of the heavens being torn apart for God's kingdom to come down, so MLK had a dream. "I have a dream," he said, "that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed, that all people are created equal. I have a dream that my little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today," he said. "I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." This is our hope, King preached, and this is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, pray together, struggle together, go to jail together, stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. And when this happens, King said, when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black and white, Jew and Gentile, Protestant and Catholic, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of that old Negro spiritual, free at last, thank God Almighty, free at last. Martin Luther King Jr.'s faith was sealed on his heart in his baptism, and it's what led him into the world to do the work of God's kingdom. As Max Grant says, baptism means that God has broken through, and so we, in turn, are called to tear into the challenges and problems of the world with everything we've been given. Baptism is a summons to be part of the remarkable, redemptive work of God. Friends, today we remember and celebrate not only Jesus' baptism, but our own. God has torn through all of the barriers that keep us from knowing who we are and what God has created and called us to do. We remember who we are as God's beloved children, empowered by the Spirit, called to bring God's kingdom down to earth, here and now, in our homes and neighborhoods, our schools and workplaces, our communities, our nation, and our world. So hold on tight. It's probably going to be a wild ride. But remember, no matter how high the mountains or low the valleys, no matter how tight the turns or how fast we go, God is always with us. That's the good news we heard 3 weeks ago at Christmas, 1 week ago at Epiphany, and it's what Jesus saw and heard when he was baptized. It's the good news that we carry in our hearts with us each and every day. So remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen.